E-Tidings Cosmos, good morning 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tomila Falcha Rotensha. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. Saw a sign which read, "Special offer while stocks last." I wonder, could I consider thoughts and ideas like that, and that they are now available for my consideration? If I were to leave them, that is, don't consider them, then the moment passes and they are no longer readily available. They have already been stored somewhere in my mind, and can be easily accessed and retrieved again any time in the future, if I use the right associative keys. Otherwise, they will remain safely stored, perhaps never to be explored. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, "A warmest sunshine kind of gladness was always in his heart, which radiated itself in his countenance and perfumed his words. He knew goodness to be with him in abundance, knew himself to be of this abundance. He did not feel himself to be in any way poor, given that he didn't accept either the Druidic or Christian ways. He was of a richness that they couldn't even imagine. When he spoke, they could see him. His integrity they could see. He was as a sublimely fashioned bell, a silence sublime, a sound sublime." In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from Prince Hamlet, Tao Te Ching, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from Prince Hamlet. "How now, sweet queen? One woe that tread upon another's heel, so fast they follow. Your sisters drowned, Laertes."
"Drowned? Oh, where?"
"There is a willow grows aslant a brook, that shows his hoar leaves in the glassy stream. There with fantastic garlands did she come, of crow flowers, nettles, daisies, and long purples, that liberal shepherds give a grosser name. But our cold maize do dead men's fingers call them. There on the pendant boughs are cornered weeds clamouring to hang, an envious sliver broke when down her the weedy trophies and herself fell in the weeping brook. Her clothes spread wide and mermaid-like, a while they bore her up, which time she chanted snatches of old tunes as one incapable of her own distress, like a creature native and endued unto that element. But long it could not be, till that her garments, heavy with their drink, pulled the poor wretch from her melodious lay to muddy death. Alas, then, she is drowned? Drowned. Drowned. Oh, too much of water hast thou, poor Ophelia, and therefore I forbid my tears. But yet it is our trick, nature her custom holds. Let shame say what it will, when these are gone, the woman will be out. Adieu, my lord, I have a speech of fire that fain would blaze, but that is folly doubts it. Let's follow, Gertrude, how much I had to do to calm his rage. Now fear I this will give it start again, therefore let's follow."
Tao Te Ching,
Installment 3. When I don't promote those men of high character to the position of authority and give them gifts, then people will not strive to follow their examples. When I don't value those things which are difficult to attain, then people will be kept from becoming thieves. When I don't let people see things which will excite evil desires, their minds will be kept from becoming disordered. Therefore, when a sage is in charge of the government, he prefers to humble people's minds, feed their stomachs, weaken their ambitions, and make their frames strong. He constantly keeps them from knowledge and from desire. And those who have knowledge would not presume to act against this rule. When practicing acting without the intent to control fate, there is no evil which can't be cured. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. North Tree Star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Humaculate of Error, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?" There was once a sage of the glens of the Antrim Landry, a scripter of marvellous tales and a detailed accounter of things he had experienced in his life. And from early in his life, he had been given the nickname, "The Hole in the Rock," for there appeared to be something missing from him. Now, the most amazing thing about him was that if you were to ask him anything about his life, he would not be able to recall for you a single happening from his childhood and running all the way right up to his present age, whatever that might be at the time of you speaking to him. Whether you had been talking to him when he was 10 years of age, 30 or 50, or in his 95th, that is, his last year of life, the situation would still be the same. If you asked him what happened yesterday or last week or last month or this time last year, he wouldn't be able to give you an answer. Yet, when you would read his tales about what happened yesterday or last week or last month or this time last year, you would be astounded by his ability to bring out the minutiae of everything concerning those happenings. You would even be able to read what he was thinking in the womb. Yet if you were to ask him directly, he would not be able to tell you. He would even go as far as saying that it wasn't he that had wrote those tales, yet it was absolutely certain that he did. The king of the Antrim Landry, being curious as to how this could be, visited the glens to meet him, and to ask him how he was able to write such marvellous stories coming from his womanhood, childhood, adolescence, adulthood, and all the way up to his most senior years, which at this time was when he was 79. And he wanted to know, too, how was it possible for him to write about things that happened in his life, say, just the day before, yet if he were to talk about them to him, he wouldn't be able to do so. And the king went and put this question to him, saying, "Is there someone who speaks in your ear as you write? Does your quill move of its own accord, and the tales and the accounts it does write?" "Neither, your majesty. Merely I put my quill to parchment and I write." "But surely there is more to it than that. Is there no special method you employ?" "To others it may appear to be a special method, your majesty, but for me it is the most natural thing in the world." "What would that be?" "Association by way of fragments." "How do you mean?" "By way of sound fragments do I know what to write, your majesty, and not alone by sound fragments, for also by vision, scent, taste, feel, thought, and sense fragments. Could you be more specific, as I am not so easily catching your meaning? If you were to ask me, Your Majesty, something about what happened in that which we call yesterday, I wouldn't be able to answer you. And it is not that I wouldn't be able to answer, but rather I wouldn't know how to go about putting an answer together for you. Then how would I be able to know from you about something that had happened to you or for you yesterday? Don't ask, Your Majesty. Rather give me a word or a phrasal sounding. For instance, if you were to say to me, thrush singing in ash tree, then I would be able to tell you of all the times and places in my life, right from my wombhood up to this present moment, when and where I had heard a thrush singing in an ash tree. And not alone that, but what the weather was like at those times, and how I was feeling, and whether it was of a morning, an afternoon, or an evening. That's amazing. Your Majesty, to me, it is the most natural thing in my world. Would that be the same if I were to give you, say, a phrasal seeing or a phrasal scenting, tasting, feeling, thinking, or sensing? It would, Your Majesty. And if I may, how does it come to you to write about something? I gaze to my inner world, Your Majesty, to behold what words and phrases it is presenting to me, and I take it from there. And the king was well pleased with his elucidations, and from that day forth, whenever he would come to visit him in the glens, he would never ask him a question. Always he would extend to him single words or phrases, and the conversation would take off from there. And the king bestowed on him the honorary title that of the Full Emptiness of the Glens. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay way back in days of long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, you will know that the kingship and the kingdom of yourself are yours. Remember whenever and wherever to bravely speak out on issues when you know quite well you ought to. Refuse to let yourself silence you. The upcoming repeal here on the Isle of Ireland of the 8th Amendment of the Constitution Act 1983, which acknowledges the right to life of the unborn with due regard to the equal right to life of the mother, is such an issue in need of your courageous response. Say no on Referendum Day, Friday 25th of May, to the making of a law that would fast-track us as individuals and as a people to inhumanity. The beloved lives in the wombs of tomorrows will to us in their own way be eternally grateful and ever so proud of us. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind, bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes, Monday to Friday. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseTramascripts.com. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.